Girls On Podcast. I am your host, Moss. As per usual, didn't know what the next episode would be, and the way I came about this episode was yesterday. Well, today, as I'm recording this episode, it's Sunday, May 22nd. You may be listening to this in the future, so I apologize. Yesterday, May 21st, was Farooqa Balk's birthday. For anybody who does not know who Farooqa Balk is, she is an icon, I guess, is the word. Farooqa Balk is an icon of the 90s movie cinema. Goth. I don't know what you can say about her. She was an actress. She did a lot of big 90s movies, specifically the one she's well known for and that every 90s kid knew is The Craft, which was a movie about witches. It was her and Nev Campbell and Robin. I forgot the other two actresses, but it was a well-known movie. So she celebrated her birthday yesterday. She celebrated her 40th birthday. She was in the industry for a long time. She was in this really creepy movie when she was a kid called Return to Oz. If you ever get the opportunity to watch that, it is super duper creepy. She was in a lot of movies. American History X, Waterboy. She was well known. And then suddenly, she kind of fell off the earth. So one of these websites, one of these goth inspired websites that on IG that I follow, they were like, happy birthday Farooqa Balk. And so I went through the comments because I was like, hey, I wonder what happened to her. And someone was like, yeah, I wonder what happened to her. And someone was talking about how she was basically blacklisted from Hollywood for supporting a director of a movie. And I was like, what are you talking about? A Richard Stanley guy. I was like, what, huh? The guy who first tried to direct this movie called The Island of Dr. Moreau, blah, blah, blah. And so they're going on and on. They were like, oh, you just have to watch this doc called Lost Souls, The Dune Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau. But I was like, what? Okay, so I started watching it. And man, can I just tell you, it went from just trying to figure out where one of my favorite actresses disappeared to an all-out conspiracy and just a crazy, crazy ride. I believe the doc is an hour and a half long. I watched the whole thing. It was really fascinating. If you don't know, The Island of Dr. Moreau is a book written by H.G. Wells. He also did War of the Worlds. I've never actually read the book, The Island of Dr. Moreau. I did read H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. So I guess I get his style of writing. Now I kind of want to read it. So they've been wanting to, they actually adapted this book into a movie twice, once in 1932 and another time in 1977. So they've already made versions of this movie. So apparently Richard Stanley, this director, he's a South African born, London raised film director, eccentric kind of character, was obsessed with this book since he was a kid, The Island of Dr. Moreau. And if you know anything about The Island of Dr. Moreau, it's kind of a creepy, kind of like a Dr. Frankenstein creepy kind of like cult-like book, from what I understand. I've never actually read the book, but the Cliff Note version of what I understand, it's a very just like satanic, sick, playing God kind of a story. So Richard Stanley was very obsessed with this book, and so he became a director known for being edgy, making films that were a little off the cuff. And he, you know, people started noticing him, you know, people really started noticing him. He was just kind of like an interesting character. He recently directed Color Out of Space, which is, I don't think he's directed anything prior to that for a while. Like, Color of Space was 2016, I think. Now I've got to check. Look, I'm trying to figure out what year this one is. 2000 something. It was recent. And prior to that, the last thing he did was 2011. So he'd been kind of out of commission for a while. Oh, I'm sorry, 2013 was the last thing. And so when this documentary that came out in 2014, I didn't realize it's been around for a second, came out, I guess people started really kind of going back to Richard Stanley and kind of, you know, wanting to know more about Richard Stanley. Yeah, he was into horror, he was into his movies, and he was an eccentric character. His mom was apparently, this is what got me, apparently his mom was into Satanism, so his mom was into Satanism, and she... Like, from the interviews from this documentary, he seemed very, very intelligent and very, like, just super smart. Just too smart for his own good kind of a thing. I'm reading this now, and it seems like he was a descendant of a famous journalist, Sir Henry Morton Stanley. And his mother, Penny Miller, was an artist and an anthropologist, best known for her books, Myth and Legends of South Africa. So his mom was an anthropologist, but she was also a known Satanist, which is going to become important in a few minutes, the reason I keep bringing it up. So he's just like the smart kid, his mom's an artist, he's kind of like, you know, what he made it seem like was like he grew up in kind of a hippie lifestyle, and his mom was kind of free spirit, but like... Satanism was part of their lives, which is like, okay. So he going back to him as an adult, loving this, you know, the island of Dr. Moreau. So he made a couple movies, people started taking notice of him. One of the studios really liked him, and he kind of, I don't know if he like pushed it or he kind of like presented it to them. He was very, he's an artist. He's an artist first and foremost. And while you're watching this doc, The Lost Souls, you see the artwork. He still has his original artwork from the Island of Dr. Moreau, which is really like intricate, really amazing, really psychedelic, kind of like of another world. Like, I'm really surprised that the studio would like even kind of like look at this stuff and be like, yeah, we'll totally bring him on and have him do this, and have him come in and do whatever he wants, because it just seems like if this was filmed in the 90s, a lot of these studios were not as open-minded. I mean, not to say that our film studio is super open-minded. Anytime a studio is open-minded, the film gets banned. So I'm just so surprised, you know. So he kind of trekked forward and had them do stuff, and slowly the cast was developed. So at first it was supposed to be, they wanted someone who was more raggedy, kind of like, I don't know who they wanted particularly. They didn't say who they wanted as Dr. Moreau prior to Marlon Brando. But his artwork seemed to, if you look at the artwork, strangely enough, which made me laugh, the artwork that he's showing that he did years ago of the person he wanted to play Dr. Moreau, and you look at him now in the documentary, it's actually him, like, I guess a foreshadowing of himself, sort of this, like, hippie kind of, like, not even hippie, but just, like, a nomad kind of guy with a beard and a hat, and yeah, that's his, like, his thing now. And so he kind of foreshadowed himself. Or maybe he kind of fine-tuned himself to become that person. So at one point, they got Marlon Brando. Yay! But I have to do an episode on Marlon Brando, because Marlon Brando is the biggest pain in the fucking ass. God rest his soul. but as an actor, he just sounds like he was just a menace. He was just a menace. But he had such a, like, lucrative career. I don't know what happened to Marlon Brando in Hollywood, but it seems like he just was just a terror. Like, in all sense of the word, he wouldn't learn his lines, he would show up late, but, like, he had this lucrative career. I don't understand. Like, to be that sort of arrogant and foreboding and just everything. I mean, I get it, he was gorgeous, but damn, like, when does somebody, like, when, you know, it was a different world and a different time, I get it. But he was just a menace, and I need to do one on him, because he's just, every time I hear a story about Marlon Brando, it's never good. So, Marlon Brando signed on. He, at first, didn't want Richard Stanley to do it, but then he met Richard, and he really liked him, because Richard's such an odd duck, and Marlon Brando is obviously an odd duck. And he liked him. He liked him a lot and let him have, like, at first the studio was, even though they wanted Stanley to do this, they were skeptical, which is weird. Like, you're giving this guy all this power, but yet you're skeptical. It's a very weird dynamic, which you'll see, as we continue on. So then they wanted they wanted Bruce Willis. So Bruce Willis was gonna come on. It's the 90s. Bruce Willis is hot. He's in everything. So he was coming on, and I believe the next person who was also coming on was Jeremy Irons. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. I should look that up. Maybe it wasn't Jeremy Irons. I don't think it was Jeremy Irons. Was it Jeremy Irons? Well, anyway, there was another still well-known actor who was going to be in the movie. And he, somehow, it just seems really messy. So they have all these big stars, the budget's going, it's ballooning, it's becoming, like, this thing. It's, Richard Stanley's really excited, and, it starts to teeter, and this is the part of the documentary that I noticed that I took a lot, like, out of everything he said in this documentary and everything he kind of put out there. This is the part where I was like, oh, this is not gonna end well. Like, this is the part where I was like, this is not a good idea. So when it was just, like, teetering and he wasn't sure, and there was, like, I think it was right after Bruce Willis left, because Bruce Willis was going through a divorce with Demi Moore at this point. It was a big thing, and he just didn't see himself going to Australia for 6 months to film this because he had to take care of legal things. And he bowed out. It ended up being, like, kind of like, oh, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? The actors started shifting around. They still always had Marlon Brando. They always had him. And then Marlon Brando's daughter committed suicide, and there was this whole part where he didn't want to be around. He wasn't around, obviously, because he was grieving. So it was a lot of, like, inconsistencies. And obviously, if I was Richard Stanley, I mean, I get obsession of a book. I would have saw the signs and say, you know what? Let's put this off for a couple of years until we can really, like, cement this well, because we don't have a good foundation on this. But this guy was like, no, I'm gonna make this movie. And nothing comes out of being obsessed with something and being so arrogant that, no, I'm gonna make this regardless of what happens. So what he does next, Mr. Richard Stanley, because as I mentioned earlier, his mom was a Satanist and he himself was a Satanist, he decided to go to, and also, by the way, as he's trying to negotiate all these things, he hadn't been paid from his previous gig, so he's, like, literally, like, on Skid Row. Like, he's, like, going to phone booths with any change, any money he has in his pocket to talk to production, because he's, like, at rock bottom. So this is all happening all at once. Like, I would have been like, you know what, let's just, like, plan this out accordingly, like, really do a good job and make sure we have the right actors. But he was, like, forward marching, obsessed, had his blinders on, like, now I'm gonna make this movie. And then so he goes to see a pal of his mom's who is a Satanist, and I don't know what it's called, you know, it's not my forte, Satanism. So he asked his friend to do a spell, I guess. I think that's what they call it, a spell. And the guy drew blood on it so that this project be made. As soon as he said that, I was like, oh, this is gonna go in the toilet. This is terrible. This is all gonna go, like, this is all gonna be. Yeah. When you force an ideology or something to be made, or like even love spells, like when you put a love spell on somebody, it's just not right. When it's, you don't give the situation or the person or the thing free will in its sense, it's always gonna turn out bad. Like, if you would have gone to, well, definitely not a Satanist, if he would have manifested, like, out there, like, you know, I want the best possible solution for me and this film, and let that manifest instead of saying, I need to make this movie, I need to be in this movie, it needs to be done, I don't care what's going on around me. And there's a sense of, like, as you're watching, there's a sense of arrogance to this guy. Like, he's just smart, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and he knows what he's doing, and he's, but then this guy, you know, he's 55 now, so back then, how long ago, 30-something years ago, he was a young guy. He was a young guy with a lot of money coming towards him, and everybody liked him, and he was really smart, and he was just like, yeah, this is gonna happen. And it's just like, no, bro, you should have just, I don't know. Anyway, so take in mind that this Satanist friend of them did this. He drew blood, he did a spell that this, you know, this would happen. So, okay. So, forward marching. We've got Bruce Willis is out because he's divorced. Then Marlon Brando is kind of like not there, but there because the death of his daughter. So they bring in Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer was supposed to replace Bruce Willis, but instead he took a lesser role because he didn't want to be, he didn't want the responsibility of all the filming time, because it was supposed to be 6 months in, like, the Australian outback somewhere, or I'm sorry, in the jungle. And he didn't want all that time filming. So yeah, he originally was cast for the Bruce Willis role, and then he got a smaller role. Yeah. So then they brought in, so they had, in the documentary, they brought in Rob Morrow to play the Bruce Willis role. He lasted all of 4 days. The man lasted all of 4 days when principal photography started. Oh, so to go back. So, you know, pre-planning. So when you make a film, pre-planning is, you know, pre-production is a big thing. Like, you plan out everything, plan out costumes, you plan. Apparently, Richard Stanley wasn't the best at planning stuff. So he would just draw pictures and give it to the production crew. I've never heard of such a thing. I've made short films and you plan everything out. I mean, time is money, especially when you're making a $1 million film. Time is definitely money. So he's got all these people coming in doing costumes. There's a lot of, like, FX costume stuff going on for the Beast people, and location. They're in this small section of Australia, which apparently rains a lot, but nobody bothered to check that. It was one of the, you know, this jungle area, and it sounds really like, if I could be honest, it just sounds like a guy who had a big ego and a studio that was kind of like gaslighting him in a sense. Like, he thought he could do anything because they made it seem like he could do anything, and at the end of the day, he really couldn't do anything. He had limited power, but he had no idea. So they start making this movie. A hurricane comes as they're filming. There's a hurricane that comes and washes the set away. That's one thing. There's terrible tension between the actors and Richard Stanley. You know, Val Kilmer is a total prick at this point because he's such a hot name. First of all, he had cast a small role, and he was like, no, I want the smaller role. Like, because I don't want to be on set so long. And it's just one of those things where you're just kind of like, oh, okay. And I think I watched this movie a long time ago and I thought it was terrible. All that happened. So there's tension between the actors. There's just everything's going amok. And then finally the studio fires Richard Stanley. They fire Richard Stanley. They give him a plane ticket. They tell him to get on a plane and leave. Little did they know that he did not get on the plane. He decided to stay in the Australian world. Stay in Australia instead of getting on a plane to England, and he's like living off the fat of land. He's just hanging out like in Australia, like living off the land, and like, you know, because he's that kind of weirdo. He's just like, yeah, no, I'm not going home. I'm just going to stay here. He gets fired. Rob Morrow leaves, and then I know the actor who ends up taking the role. He was in one of the Harry Potter movies. David Thewlin takes over that role. And it's just like, it's a mess. So when Richard Stanley got fired, going back to Farooq Hamid, Richard Stanley got fired. Farooq Hamid was like, no, I want to leave. I don't want to be part of this. Blah, blah, blah. I want out. But her agent and her manager and her lawyer was like, if you do this, if you leave, you won't get paid. You'd have to pay them back. They'll tarnish your name and blah, blah, blah. Which they kind of ended up doing anyway. Not the garnished wages and stuff like that, but they ended up like kind of blacklisting her and kind of like dismissing her out of Hollywood. So that happened anyway, so poor thing. So she had to stay and film this because she was contractually obligated to do this. So she got shafted big time. And then finally they got a new director, John Frankenheimer, who was apparently totally different from Richard Stanley. It's just Stanley was kind of like, you know, easy breezy, like, let's do this, but kind of dude. John Frankenheimer was like an old school yeller of a director, and he yelled, and he was just like, he'd insult people and just be like really mean to people. And so he comes in, he's all like trying to push everybody around, and it was just a totally different atmosphere. Something that should have taken a couple of months took way longer, and it ended up being a bomb. If you know anything about this movie, it ended up being poorly received. So also when Marlon Brando decided to show up to set finally, he didn't learn his lines. He decided to create his own costume. He decided to put this like white makeup on his face, which is not what was in the script. Didn't get along with Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer didn't get along with him. It was all like, there were like standoffs during the day between Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando, which is hilarious because I feel like they both reminded me of each other. So the fact that they were like, no, you're an asshole. No, you're an asshole. I'm like, you're both assholes. Hey. So, this doc was real good. It talked a lot about just how messy something can get. And just to preface it, because I may have not said this, when Richard Stanley asked his friend to do the spell, so a lot of the really bad things that started happening to the set coincided with the fact that his friend got really sick and had to be hospitalized, and then suddenly all the spells that he did kind of started breaking. Apparently, for example, his mom, Richard Stanley's mom, had a spell that she did. I don't know. He never said. But after his friend got real sick, all the spells kind of like started to break. She had lightning hit her house 3 times, like fireballs in the house. So I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't mess with elements you don't know anything about. That's an idea. And I feel like his mom is like a movie in herself. She's one of these people who finds like ancient artifacts and brings them home and like, yeah, nothing can happen from this. It's like, it's haunted. Like, oh, yeah. This was an interesting and fascinating documentary. Oh, and at the end, because Richard Stanley was still on the island, kind of living off the land, he's like, I'm just like in a way, like, I appreciate his intelligence, but I also don't appreciate the way he talks. Like, it's kind of condescending and kind of like, you're a prick for sure. And he's talking about, yeah, I know, I'm living off the fat of the land, eating cassavas and this and that, and just like, you know, roughing it, and like, so he's not too far away from set. And so a bunch of the extras who've been basically living there and making money and like doing whatever found him, gave him a mask, and brought him back on set, and he was an extra in the movie as well. So it's like, there's all sorts of lunacy in this movie, like, oh my gosh. And now I want to watch it just to be like, oh my gosh. So I'm going to take a little break, and when we come back, I'll wrap up and give you my final thoughts on this documentary. And we're back. That was quite a ride. So, to sum it all up, Richard Stanley was obsessed with H.G. Wells' story, the island of Dr. Moreau. He wanted to make a film about it that was different from the two adaptations that we've had already. A studio agreed to it. They wanted it. But when they saw how elaborate, which I feel like in his artwork he was showing, he was very elaborate and very out there. When they realized how real elaborate he was, they kind of tried to pull the reins on him, and he kind of, you know, there was a back and forth. He also was a director who didn't get along with big star Hollywood types, because he did a lot of indie stuff until that point. So there was that mess. The whole casting debacle with Bruce Willis leaving and Rob Morrow and all these people kind of interchanging. That happened. Big egos with Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer. They were big Hollywood stars. The location itself being, you know, don't worry, mate, it's always clean, it's always sunny here, and there's hurricanes and stuff like that. Devil worshiping, which I thought was a big part of it, like going to a Satanist and asking to do a spell so you can get this job, and as soon as the Satanist is sick or whatever happens to him, and then it breaks. Never a good thing to do a spell on a situation, or you know, I get doing spells to further yourself in the career, but never a good look when you tether yourself to something. In a sense, like, let's say, for example, you do a spell to find true love, and you're like, you know, I want to find my true love, and I think it's Bob, and you kind of tether yourself to Bob. Never gonna look. What you want to do is, you want the best outcome for yourself, like saying, I want to find true love, and whatever that means to me in terms of true love, but I also know that I have to love myself, so let me love myself so I can find someone who can love me just as much. There you go. You know, always a good thing. Or if you have a project that you really like, being like a movie you want to make, just putting it out there, like, you know, I want the best possible outcome for me, you know, regardless of what that may look like, you know. And there you go. Like, not going to a Satanist, having to draw blood and saying, I have to make this movie. I have to make this movie. You know? Because if it's not for me, then if it's not for you, then it will slip from your hands. What's meant, you know, there's the saying, what's meant for you, no one can take it away. And I truly believe that. Like, what's meant for you is meant for you. And sometimes we become very obsessive and pigheaded, and we're like, that's what I want to do. And this is what happened to this guy. After all this, after going through so much calamity, he gets fired, and he's basically kind of shunned from the from Hollywood, you know, and he ends up not making as much movies anymore, and he's kind of like a recluse, and he makes movies here and there, which is sad, you know. And again, he was young and he didn't understand that, you know. And also the film studios messed up too. I'm not totally blaming this 100% on Richard Stanley. Film studio should have, I don't know, should have, I would have fired Brando Val Kilmer and be like, you know what, you want to have an ego, get out. But because people see dollar signs, this is, you know, Farooq Balt of all people was the one who was like, people are greedy, people don't care, they want their money, they rather have people suffer than, you know, put out a good product. And it's true, this movie isn't the greatest. I'm probably gonna watch it after this, since I remember watching and thinking it was terrible. It's unfortunate that so many people suffered for a film that ended up being mediocre and now it's just like kind of a cult hit. This documentary, Lost Soul, the Doom Journey of Richard Stanley, I suggest you watch it. It's directed by David Gregory. It's from 2014, and it really does explore a lot of what it is. You know, it doesn't take sides, but it does show what truly happened. And sometimes it's sad to see something artistic and something so fun and creative become such a political, money, greed, hungry kind of thing. If everybody would have just like calmed down and taken a breath and said, you know what, we're gonna take, this is happening and this is happening, let's just take a year off to just figure this out and then come back to this, it wouldn't have been such a mess. I would love to see this remade again, because this original one is terrible. I'd love to see, maybe not Richard Stanley. Richard Stanley, you keep your Satanism to yourself. Maybe with someone else, I'd like to see it. I honestly would love to do an episode on Marlon Brando, because he just, like, everybody loves him. Which I just, you know, it is what it is. I find, like, a lot of the stuff he's done, like, after you find out that he wears earpieces to learn his lines, and he's kind of like a pain in the ass, it's like, I mean, his performance is okay, but like, was he really worth all that money and all that grief? I beg to differ. And Val Kilmer, as good of an actor he was, that kind of behavior is kind of stinky, you know? But it's like, you kind of think back and you're like, he was young, and if no one was like reeling him in and telling him to not be an asshole, like, whose fault is it really, right? It's unfortunate. So please check out Lost Soul, The Doom Journey of Richard Stanley, Island of Dr. Moreau. It's on the Peacock Network, I believe. I saw this. It was really good. It was really informative of, you know, if you know anything about making films, this is probably worst case scenario. Like, I was just like, the stuff, every time something would come up, I was like, because I've made films, so it's like, ooh, like, and not just as an actor, as a producer. So it's this is worst case scenario by far. But I thought it was a very well made documentary, and I thought it was an interesting take on this whole situation. So let me know what you think. Let me know if you've seen the doc, if you are a fan of Marlon Brando and think I'm terrible for bringing him down, if you know who Richard Stanley is, because I didn't know who he was, if you've read the book, The Island of Dr. Moreau. I haven't. I've read H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, which, you know, is pretty good too. And let me know your thoughts. And let me know what you want to see, you want to hear next on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time.